Hey guys, you are listening to FOW Radio. It's Patrick and Mike. Mike, how are you doing today?
Good, man, good.
Everything's going very well for most people, but you know, in the world of professional wrestling, right now things are not looking so good for the now former Tough Enough contestant, Patrick.
Patrick Clark.
Mike, how do you feel? Doesn't sound like a very popular decision. What do you think?
It's not a popular decision. He was the one guy, the only singular guy on the roster who had any passion for the business and had any passion for the WWE. You know, there wasn't a single other person on the show from the very beginning who knew anything about the WWE, much less, you know, its history or, you know, had a great passion for wanting to be a professional wrestler. I think they just all, perhaps they just want to be superstars or they just want to get famous or what have you. But he was the only one who was actually passionate about the business. You know, he legitimately wants to be a wrestler, and he's already, you know, spent a year on the indies, everything, you know, and he's the most well-rounded talent they had on the show. He was the best option on the show.
Now,
was he the most popular? No, but he was the best.
Now, tell me what do you think was about Patrick that may have rubbed people the wrong way as far as the viewers, because they're the ones that voted. I hear a lot about...
Honestly, I feel like you got to put, you know, sure, the voters voted him off, but you got to put it on the judges first. They're the ones that put him in the bottom three. His performance wasn't so bad that he needed to be in the bottom three. You know, like... He didn't do so bad in the challenges that he had to be. He just didn't win, you know? But
right. He
wasn't dead last. You know, he wasn't somebody who should have been in the bottom three. And, you know, honestly, if you go back and you run back to tape, it really seemed like the only reason why they put him in the bottom three was because there was that one moment sitting around the table where he asked the other competitors what it was like to be in the bottom three because he's the only one who had never been. And, you know, I think it was just that really felt like that was the one moment that caused him to decide to, you know, he needs to be humbled out. Let's put him in the bottom three. But then I feel like their biggest error is they know how people are going to vote. They know that ZZ is the popular kid. Everybody loves ZZ. Everybody votes for him every week. You know, but they put ZZ in the bottom three anyway against Patrick, who they did not want put off. And then they put in Josh. Instead of putting one of the lousy women who do nothing, like Amanda, they put Josh in the bottom three. And people like Josh. People like seeing him talking about his daughter and seeing the videos of him talking to his daughter on FaceTime. And, you know, people see that he's made improvements. You know, he's lost 35 pounds since he's been there, you know. He's kind of won over some of the crowd. He actually got, I think they said he had larger percentage of the votes. Is that right? I can't remember, but that's what they were saying on Tough Talk. Like, he actually had more votes than CG.
Yeah, I think we'll see Patrick eventually, though. You know, if not in WWE, elsewhere, because I think that this kid definitely has a future. But moving on, Mike, let's talk about Monday night and what we saw in the aftermath of Battleground. We saw a big fight between Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. Now, did that sell SummerSlam for you?
Not really. I mean, I'm going to want to watch the SummerSlam anyways just because I'm a super fan or whatever, you know, but to me, it doesn't really make me more excited for it. I understand why they do it. It's a business tactic to try to make casual fans more interested. you know, you try to build extra drama, extra tension between the two people that you want to have fight. And, you know, it's no different than Conor McGregor, you know, getting in Jose Aldo's face and talking a whole bunch of trash and practically trying to provoke a fight during a press conference to try to drum up pay-per-view buys for UFC. It's no different than that. It's just a tactic to try to get people interested in wanting to you know, sign up for the network, subscribe, and be able to watch SummerSlam. You know, that's all it is. But to me, it doesn't really add anything. You know, the match, if that's the match that you want, it sells itself. Paul Heyman sold it. You know, he went out there and cut a really great promo.
Fantastic.
About yeah, it was amazing. And it was really long, but it was amazing. And it was like, that's all I need. I didn't need Brock Lesnar's show. I didn't need a fight. You already set up the fight and why the fight needed to happen with Paul Heyman. So, you know, to me, it was personally, I felt like it was a waste of time. Like, that's time that could have been used for, you know, a couple mid-card guys to get some screen time and have a fight or something. You know, you could have done something else, you know, actually in the ring with that time.
Yeah. And what do you think about taking Brock Lesnar away from the title picture? And how does it affect Seth Rollins going forward?
I think it's, you know, it's good that he's not in the title picture because, you know, for hardcore fans, you know, and that's something that they do as much as they try to, you know, get casual people in to, you know, get extra money. They know their main crowd is the hardcore fans, and hardcore fans have always been kind of leery about these part timers getting all this, you know, screen time at the top, you know, and spending so much time on the belt and things like that. So, you know, like I think it makes sense to pull him out of that picture, but in another sense, it's diminutive towards Seth because it makes him seem really weak in every instance where he's had to either defend his title, with the exception being the ladder match with Dean Ambrose, where he put up a really good fight and they both came down and they had the belt and he came away with it. That's like the only instance where he's really like got an opportunity to really set himself apart as like, hey, I can do this. In all the other matches, it's always like some circumstance for which he winds up being able to cowardly run away or you know, not even run away. Like in this instance, we didn't even see him. As soon as the lights went black, like it's like he just disappeared from existence, and then when the lights came back on, all it was Taker and Lesnar. And he was nowhere to be seen. There's no Seth Rollins in sight. And to me it kinda undermines, you know, his legitimacy as a champion. That, you know, there's a really huge monumental threat in front of him, which is Brock Lesnar. And then he doesn't even, you know, get to try to face him or even, you know, cheat his way out of it. Like, he doesn't even do anything. Like, it's just, oh, well, we'll throw some, you know, mythical creature, which is the Undertaker, at Brock Lesnar to, you know, distract him. And, you know, like, I just feel like the way they're handling Seth is just, you know, not really healthy for his long-term character.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about what they're doing now? Basically, it's looking like we may be getting Rollins Cena, possibly at SummerSlam.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Like, I feel like the only way it will be of any benefit is if you're setting up this match to have Cena help put Seth over and let the two of them put on a really great, well-coordinated, well-executed wrestling match and have Seth come out on top and prove that he's actually a top-notch performer. That's the only way it really works, because we all know Cena's not the future. He may be the present, he's definitely the past, but his time as one of the top guys is slowly coming to an end, you know, like he's only got so many more years left where he could be a top guy, you know? So like you really got to start giving these other guys the shine. And if they do what they've done with Cena over and over again, which is pit him against these young guys and then let Cena win and squash the momentum of the young guys, it's not really going to help the future of the product. Mm-hmm. You know, you've had Cena squash Bray Wyatt. You had Cena recently squash Kevin Owens, like Rusev. You know, like how many of these young, promising guys that you want fans to buy into are you going to continue to put under by means of John Cena? Just because he's your bread and butter when it comes to merchandise sales. Yeah. Like, if that's your business model, I hope your business crashes, because that sucks. That sucks to be a fan in that kind of wrestling, you know, climate.
Absolutely. Well, and speaking of Kevin Owens, what is next for him? I mean, we've all heard the rumors, and, you know, for whatever reason, they don't believe, or they're just, I guess, not Kevin Owens fans. And what do you think is next for him?
Well, you know what, according to reports that on the internet, you know, they're saying that Kevin Dunn, who's one of the top executives and one of Vince McMahon's confidants, doesn't like Owens, but yet Triple H loves him. So it's kind of like a power struggle between the son-in-law, who is the future of the company, and an executive who doesn't want to lose his power over a guy who has an immense amount of talent, and fans are really like pulling. I mean, like you and I were both at Raw in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I asked you this question: how many Kevin Owens shirts did you see in the stands?
A lot.
So how like it just doesn't make sense that at least if the reports are true, that Kevin Dunn and these other executives will be trying to say that Owens isn't a commodity for the WWE. He's selling merch. Fans love him. Fans cheer for him. He gets a good pop, whether it's, you know, people rooting for him or against him. He does his job. People are intrigued both by his character and his ability in the ring. So, yeah, Kevin Dunn can suck on some apples.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, he is not the future of this company. Kevin Dunn is. You know, I mean, you know, just everybody's, you know, heard internet rumors how, you know, while he may be Vince's number one guy, he definitely is not Triple H's. And, you know, I don't see him sticking around much longer after, you know, Vince McMahon is out of power. So,
yeah, because Stephanie, it's inevitable. Stephanie and Triple H will eventually take over the company.
Yeah. And you see both of them are, you know, building, you know, their own guys. You know, they're putting their own guys in place. You know, you see with Stephanie, you know, she's putting all these people around her. She's building a team. And in the same way, you see Triple H putting his people in the performance center. And so they're kind of working hand in hand and putting their people in the right places, so when they eventually do take over, there will be, you know, people around them that they trust, and then that they will work with them to follow their vision. So whatever that is, I mean, but at this point, you know, as healthy as McMahon continues to be, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him being in power for another 15, 20 years. So now with that, now let's talk about something that is working, Mike, the Divas division, or as I like to call it, the women's wrestling division in WWE. Your thoughts
on... At least of late. Of late.
Yeah, your thoughts...
late, I mean, like, the past 2 weeks.
Your thoughts on Monday night. And, you know, we didn't see just one, but two Divas matches. And, Mike, I don't remember the last time we saw that happen.
I don't either. Thanks for taking my bit. Oh, man. I don't think, even back in the heyday of, you know, and I don't want to be blasphemous, but Trish Stratus really wasn't that great of a wrestler. She was okay. She was serviceable. She was eye candy. But in that heyday where you had Trish Stratus and you had Lita and you had, you know, other women coming up like Gail Kim and stuff, like, I don't even remember them having two women's matches at that time. You know, and maybe the only time you would see two different matches that involve women, you go back when China was around. You might have had a women's match, and then later that night have China facing, like, Chris Jericho or somebody, you know, because she did occasionally fight a dude once in a while. But that was super rare, and that wasn't really an extra women's match. That was, like, a ridiculous gimmick match to have a woman fight a man. You know, but... yeah, I don't recall them ever doing two women's matches in a night. I could be wrong. I haven't watched every episode. My memory is fallible. But I don't remember it happening. And I thought it was great. I enjoyed both matches. Even the match with the Bella, although that was my least favorite because I'm not too fond of the Bellas. But Charlotte put in work, as always. And then we had the other match with... was a tag match with Naomi and Sasha versus Charlotte's compatriots, Paige and Becky.
Yeah.
And that was an enjoyable match. And to me, it's truly, it definitely feels like a women's revolution because not only did we have two women's matches, but then we had what was essentially a 10-minute story segment with two non-wrestling women in Lana and Summer Rae. So there was a lot of screen time for women this Monday. I would like to personally say that the Lana Summer Rae story was a bit boring to me. Ziggler's out, he's hurt. So like really like for them to have anything going on with Lana and Summer Rae and Rusev, it's really just a contrite way of trying to get some catfight going on between the two women. And that's all it really was a catfight. And we haven't seen these women wrestle. You know, they just come out and pull each other's hair and yell at each other. But, you know, when are we going to see Lana actually suit up and get in the ring? And when is Summer Rae going to ever actually have some talent? You know, those are two really good questions there. And since those questions have yet to be answered in the past year, this whole segment to me was a waste of time. But it does further add to the belief that they are really pushing building up the women's side of things. You know, you have two matches and you have like a good 5-10 minute segment with, you know, two women bickering at each other.
Yeah, with those two, that's one feud that I'm hoping ends soon and very, very soon. I think not the right place to put Lana in with somebody like Summer Rae is just like, you know... it's not a good matchup, and especially if they have big things in store for Summer Rae. I mean, not for Summer Rae. God, goodness, I hope not. For Lana, I think they need to get away from girls who really are not gonna get her anywhere. So
yeah,
and you know, first Rusev gets injured. Now you know. Dolph is out, you know, making a movie. It's kind of like, I just think like so many variables are making this, in the future being getting prolonged, and it's just, I just want to see it end.
Yeah. And, well, to me, it's a feud that never should happen in the first place.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just one of those things. Like, every time they get something good, they give you two bad things, and it's kind of like, eventually, it wears people out.
Yeah.
But enough about that. Let's talk about some little drama.
Can we talk about one other female thing?
Go for it.
Real quick. All right, so I know, like, you probably heard, like, the talk about, you know, like, you know, all this stuff going on with Caitlyn Jenner and all these other hot-button topics in the world of sports. And so, you know, people are, like, posing. Like, I've definitely seen tweets and stuff and you know, people on the dirt sheets talking about, you know, hey, how come the WWE hasn't dabbled in having a homosexual character? You know, and, you know, probably because it is a hot-button issue, and if they don't do it correctly, then it could wind up seeming really, I guess, racist in the where it could seem really insensitive and very politically incorrect, and I don't think that's something they want to do. To me, it's probably why they've avoided it, even though they have a wrestler who has come out. But it brings to mind a particular diva, because something that myself and my roommates and even our friend Paco have noticed over the past few weeks. You have the triumvirate of Naomi, Sasha, and Tamina. And they do these backstage segments. They did one last week on SmackDown, and they did one at the pay-per-view, and then they did it again on Raw. They do these segments where they'll be backstage, and it's always JoJo with the microphone backstage asking them questions. And three times now they've had these really awkward interactions where Tamina is basically kind of giving her the I'm interested kind of eye. Like treating her like, hey, girl, what's up with you? You know, she's not saying it, but you can pick it up in the body language and the way she's looking at her. It's really awkward. And JoJo's reaction to it is also very awkward. Like, she looks really uncomfortable. I don't know if you picked up on that, but it's happened, like, it's happened more than twice now. So it's definitely a thing.
Yeah, possibly. Not something I really paid that much attention to, but definitely a good point you brought up there. But who knows? I mean, speaking of JoJo, I mean, did she shrink?
No, she's always been small.
I mean, though, standing next to Stephanie.
Well, Stephanie also wears. Stephanie is like 6 inches naturally taller than JoJo, and she wears like 6-inch heels.
Yeah. Well.
But I guess, you know, when your husband is a 6'4" wrestler and you want to kind of be somewhat on the same level as him, since you're always in TV segments together, you are going to wind up wearing like 6-inch heels.
Yeah. Now, Mike, let me get your thoughts on this. Ring of Honor is going to be having a show on SummerSlam weekend in New York. At the same time, NXT is going to have their takeover special. Ring of Honor is going to have some of talent from New Japan in their card, and recently announced New Japan star Jushin Thunder Liger will be performing at NXT TakeOver. Not only that, but Ring of Honor, huh?
Or Ring of Honor?
Ring of Honor. Is going to
You just said NXT a second ago.
Yes, so Leiter is going to wrestle at NXT TakeOver against Tyler Breeze. Mm-hmm. But not only that, Ring of Honor is going to have one of their big shows in San Antonio in September, and WWE has booked NXT in San Antonio that same day. Is WWE targeting Ring of Honor?
Seems like it.
And what's up? How do you think Ring of Honor feels about New Japan sending talent to another company this at the same night when they're going head to head?
You know, I don't know that they should worry about that so much as the fact that they're being booked on the same night as NXT. That to me is a bigger problem. Because if you look at the types of talents that are being booked, you know, all right, so they got that one guy so he could wrestle Tyler Breeze. But then you look at the guys that New Japan has sent over to wrestle for Ring of Honor, and they're getting, Ring of Honor gets the top dudes. You know, I think maybe that's because of their relationship with AJ Styles. I'm not sure. But for whatever reason, you know, they get Okada, they get a lot of the top dudes from Japan. So I don't know that I would worry too much about one guy going to NXT. When you see someone like Okada go to NXT, then you could start worrying about that. The bigger picture to me is, holy crap, WWE is going head-to-head with us in the same cities, on the same days.
And you know,
how are we going to sell tickets?
What I would say about this? I think that Ring of Honor brought this upon themselves because they've been doing this thing about following WWE on WrestleMania weekend and, you know, feeding off their fans and being that everybody's going to be in one place for WrestleMania weekend. So Ring of Honor steps in and says, hey, we're also having a show. Come check us out. You know, and I think that WWE's now seeing this, and while they can't do anything to stop it, they're like, okay, well, you want to put it in a show and get our fans? Well, guess what? We're going to put our own show, and we're going to take those fans back. And you know what? For SummerSlam, for the TakeOver special, it's working because from what I hear, ticket sales are very good, and it looks like it's gonna do well. And I don't know exactly what that's gonna mean for Ring of Honor, but you know, at this point, I mean, Ring of Honor is their closest competition, and yeah, I mean, you know, you don't poke the giant and expected not to retaliate or poke back. Mm-hmm. So now I do want to bring up this other point. You know, the long hot summer's pass for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment is it's on sale now.
$25
for four shows. Man, we're gonna see two title matches, you know, one on the 16th and one on the 30th. Sabu versus Murder One on the September show. And not only that, but we're kicking things off on August the 2nd with a tag team match between Jimmy Rave and Murder One versus Chip Day and Adrian Armour. So it's getting hot, and
tell them what they could win.
Yes, and everybody that buys this pass will be entered into a drawing, and people will be able to win a raffle. It could be anywhere between a pair of tickets to Survivor Series to a pair of floor tickets to Survivor Series. Depending on the level of tickets sold. Get sold. So it's a great deal. People need to take advantage of them. Let me ask you, though, Mike, about your thoughts on the Atlanta wrestling fan base, because I feel like here you can see thousands of people pay tons of money to go watch a Raw, SmackDown, or pay-per-view, but they're not really, they don't seem to be that interested about supporting local pro wrestling.
I feel like the people who would support it don't know about it, or they haven't made the time to see it, because if they had seen it, they would want to go back. You know, and they're only looking to fill up a 500, a place that holds no more than 500 people. That's all they're looking to fill right now. They're just trying to, you know, the day will come when they will, you know, AWE would love to be able to fill a full stadium, you know, but that's not where they're at right now. But they can't even fill the 500 seat spot that they're at because people don't want to show up. And it's frustrating to me because it's like, it's a really great product. But too many fans in Atlanta are just, I guess the right term is casual wrestling fans. Like, they're okay with watching Raw. They probably don't even watch SmackDown. They definitely don't watch NXT. You know, and they definitely don't watch Ring of Honor or New Japan or any other promotion, TNA. So, you know, like, they're really just purely WWE mainstream fans. You know, like, most, it really feels like most of the fans here have gone away from being passionate wrestling fans to just being, you know, mainstream WWE people, which is kind of sad because that's not what Atlanta used to be. Yeah, Atlanta used to be the hub of the Southeast regional, you know, the regional wrestling, you know, you go back to, you know, the days of Ric Flair and Dusty, and, you know, like, Atlanta was the big hub, and then, you know, World Championship Wrestling came around and went head to head with McMahon, and it was like, Atlanta had such a great fan base back then, and it's like, well, what happened to those people?
Yeah. You know, I don't get it. I mean, it's just, I mean, like you said, if people just come and see this product, they'll see it's good. They'll see it's not just sports entertainment, but it's pro wrestling. And and it's exactly what we love, you know? And people just need to come check it out. $25 is a great deal. And
$25 would be a good deal just to get the two shows.
I would pay $25 just to see one show.
Well, yeah, I would too, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
I mean, the last couple of shows that they've had, ticket prices have only been $15 per show. So,
right,
$25 is a bargain for two shows on what the regular ticket pricing has been. You know, but for $25, they're letting you come to four shows.
Yeah, and the people they're bringing over, they're bringing new guys in.
They're even talking about bringing over, you know, possibly either Drew McIntyre or, you know,
PJ Black.
The WWE crowd would know him as, well, you know, as Drew Galloway, but WWE crowd, we'll cater to them. Yeah. Drew McIntyre or Justin Gabriel or, I want to say Matt Sydal, but that's not the WWE name. That's, you know, Evan Bourne. Mm-hmm. Or the guy I would like to see, Austin Aries, who WWE fans probably don't know jack about, these casual fans, but Austin Aries would be great. You know, any one of those guys are going to want to getting a match for the belt, yeah, you know, in October. And, you know, if these people don't start coming to shows soon, is it, you know, it might be too late for them to get on the, yeah, I'm not going to say, you know, never say never, but, like, you know, man, you're booking talent like that. Like, come on, man, just walk through the door.
And we are already getting Cedric Alexander on the show. Awesome. So, it's definitely a show that people can't miss.
And they've had Moose more than once already, and he's a legit talent.
Yeah, so see, if people haven't gotten their tickets yet, don't wait anymore. Go now to AtlantaWrestlingEntertainment.com and get your pass. Don't wait any longer. You know, they will be on sale until August the 1st, and the second season will kick off on August the 2nd at 4 p.m. at the Legacy in Atlanta.
And if you are one of those like just blasé, you know, WWE type fans, consider this. You pay $25 for a 4-show pass. You get a 1 in 160 chance to get floor seats to to Survivor Series in November at Phillips Arena. 1 in 160. That's way better odds than winning the lottery. And that is floor seats. You're looking at what, a price tag of like $700, $1,000. No, it's two seats. So it's, you're looking at, yeah, it's a pair of seats. So you're looking at like $1,700.
Yeah, it's definitely a great, great deal, because you're getting a chance at really great seats for Survivor Series. So definitely looking forward to that. The season starts August 2nd. It's going to be fantastic. Now, Mike, while we're talking about pro wrestling here, I did get the chance to talk to Scott Hensley from Roswell, Georgia, who's putting up a show in conjunction with Empire Pro Wrestling. And, you know, they're putting, it's called the Scenic City Invitational, and it's got just 16 men, including AWE's Jimmy Rave and Chip Day, and many other stars. And so we talked about this show coming on August 8th and 9th. And, you know, just so let's just go ahead and play that, and, you know, just enjoy a conversation. So here is my conversation with Scott Hensley. All right, now I am joined by Scott Hensley, you've been in the show before. You know, you were with me when we reviewed the AWE show that you attended last. But, you know, in that time you mentioned you were putting this wrestling invitational together, and you have done it. And, you know, you've put in a lot of work into it, just seeing all the stuff on social media, the card. Tell us a little bit about the talent that you have coming in. And, you know, of course, we can find all the names on the Facebook page. How excited are you about getting all this talent together for a big two-day event here at the Scenic City Invitational?
Well, Patrick, I really appreciate you having me back on. This is our second attempt after I no-showed a call, and I do apologize for that once again. I am super excited about the Scenic City Invitational. I think it's the first ever Southeastern tournament of its kind, or in recent memory, or in this area for sure. But it's August 7th and August 8th in Rossville, Georgia at the Empire Arena. And we've got a great mix of some area favorites and some talent from outside the area that doesn't typically work the Chattanooga area. I'll just go match by match. The 8 first-round matches, we got Mark Vandy. He's a guy from Indiana. He's got victories over Kevin Nash, Colt Cabana. He's actually wrestling Austin Aries this upcoming weekend. So he's got some accomplishments. He's won some tournaments before. He won the 2013 Heroes and Legends tournament. It's a pretty big deal up in Indiana. But he's looking to branch out, and that's what this is all about. It's about giving guys the opportunity. We've got Ace Rock. His opponent is Ace Rockwell. Ace is an established wrestler in the Chattanooga area. He was down at NWA Wildside and Anarchy. He was a Triple Crown champion at Anarchy. In the second match, we've got Moose from Ring of Honor, former NFL player, just all over the place now for independent wrestling. There's supposedly some interest from WWE. I know you've seen him at AWE. His opponent is KT Hamill, which I think is just one of the most improved guys I've ever seen. KT's been at it for probably about somewhere between 8 to 10 years, probably. But he's sort of just now got everything in control and figured everything out and really got his body in nice shape. And I got to watch a really good match between KT and Jimmy Rave. And it was at that moment, like, seeing him just really dish it out and not be afraid to go with Jimmy Rave. I was like, you know, that's somebody that's really trying hard. I want him in the tournament. Third match, Joey Lynch. He's a Rossville guy for Empire Wrestling, but he's looking to branch out. I think he's actually coming to AWE with his brother, Matt Fortune. But his opponent is going to be Corey Hollis, who I actually started in wrestling with, not as a wrestler, but as a ring announcer. He was a wrestler and still is a great one. But we did some of our first shows together over in Alabama. And the guy that trained him was the guy that ran the show that I started out on. So I sort of come up with him. I got to spend some time with him out at PWX a couple weekends ago out in North Carolina. And he is just, he's phenomenal at what he does. And he's just super athletic, great technical guy. And he's really worked on his personality a lot, so that's come a long way. He's in a stable at Empire called the White Rose, and that's with Chip Day and another guy named Ryan Vega. Speaking of Chip Day, he is in a match. Chip Day's pretty accomplished throughout Georgia. He's a big deal at AWE. And then he had a great match with Joe Black at PWX a couple weekends ago. His opponent is the hometown boy, Gunnar Miller. Gunnar Miller was a UTC football player. He's got a great physique. He's had an NXT tryout. So, you know, there's interest there from WWE. He's just looking to get some more experience. But so it'll be Chip Day versus Gunnar Miller. A match that everyone's really looking forward to. We got the, I think he's almost, 6'5", 6'6", somewhere in there probably. 350, 400 pounds, Congo Kong. He's been recently starring with Global Force Wrestling. I saw where he picked up a victory over Magnus from TNA for Global Force Wrestling. So they obviously see something in him, as do I. He's wrestled for the Juggalo Championship Wrestling. He was the IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Champion for almost a year, I believe. And he's just really athletic for a huge guy. So I put him in with someone who is equally as athletic and big, and that's the Strong Style Psycho Tank. Tank sort of made his name in deathmatch wrestling, but he's a pretty accomplished just standard wrestler, too, with the Strong Style. And he is a really big guy. He's probably 350, 375. And just a mean man in the ring. So him and Congo Kong will probably tear the house down, maybe literally. And then the last three matches, Caprice Coleman, very accomplished wrestler, currently with Ring of Honor, trained by the Hardy Boys. He's wrestled basically the entire Ring of Honor roster. He will take on Jason Collins, who is sort of an up-and-coming guy in the Georgia area. He won a tournament recently for Big Wood out at Deep Southern Championship Wrestling. He's just a real technician, and he can also just go with the strong style type work, but he's really impressive. Last two, Anthony Henry, who has done real well in Georgia, and I got to see him out at PWX in North Carolina. He will take on the guy that is being called the best wrestler in the state of Georgia. He just won the AWE championship. And he is being talked about in anytime somebody talks about Georgia wrestling now, they talk about Jimmy Rave. So Anthony Henry will take on Jimmy Rave, and that has a chance to be match of the night for sure. And the last match is a guy that is one of my best friends in wrestling, Christian Hame. He's wrestled for Ring of Honor, CZW, Chikara, IWA Mid-South. He's one of the guys that's just really inspirational as far as a Southern guy that really traveled to the independents and really got his name out there and made some connections and stuff. But he's going to have a quite a large battle on his hands because he's going to go against Gunner from TNA. I saw where he is a free agent now, but I have to call him something else other than just Gunner because we do have Gunner Miller in the tournament also. So that could get confusing, but that's the first round matchups there, the eight matches. Mark Vandy, Ace Rockwell, Moose, KT Hamill, Joey Lynch, Corey Hollis, Congo Kong versus Tank, Caprice Coleman, Jason Collins, Gunner Miller, Chip Day, Anthony Henry, Jimmy Rave, and Christian Hame versus Gunner. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, I tell you, you pulled no punches in getting some of talent from all over the country. And you know, one of the matches you brought out that I'm really excited about is the one between the two big men, Tank and Kong. I mean, that's the type of match that, yeah, I mean, it could break your ring. You might want to put that one last because if you dig early, you might not have a ring for the rest of the night. And who knows? But yeah, I think especially something about big men going against each other, especially two really tough men like these that don't really care about much of anything except for pain. I think it's pretty cool. But yeah, you have a really good talent over, and you mentioned Jimmy Rave, which as talked about as he's being in Georgia, you know, when Jeff Jarrett created his promotion, I mean, when I saw that Jimmy Rave was one of the names that was brought out, I just thought back, okay, where Ring of Honor started with Jimmy Rave. AWE started with Jimmy Rave. You know, Global Force Wrestling started with Jimmy Rave. It's kind of like, you know, there's something about this guy that promoters like, you know.
So, oh, yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a really good card now. Tell me something. This trophy, have you got it set?
The trophy is being purchased and will be there for the event. We are actually naming the trophy. We're naming it the Greg Hollander Trophy. That is the real name of Big Wood. Big Wood runs Deep Southern Championship Wrestling, and he trained a lot of the guys in our area and just really provides expertise and guidance to a lot of promoters throughout Georgia and North Carolina, and he's a heck of a guy when it comes to professional wrestling. There's some shady characters in wrestling, mm-hmm. and some total dreamers, but Woody's really just a down to earth guy. It's one of the most fun locker rooms you could ever work in, and he just genuinely cares about every single person on his shows. So we are naming the trophy the Greg Hollander Trophy.
And that's definitely cool. And tell us about, you know, of course, you're partnering up with Empire Wrestling, Empire Pro Wrestling here. And how's that relationship been? I mean, you're from the area, so I'm sure you had that relationship. But it's I think it's a really cool thing to see them step up and work with you to put it, this event together, and you know, because it's a big undertaking to put a show together and getting all these guys.
Oh, yeah,
so tell me about the partnership.
We couldn't ask for a better partner than Empire Wrestling. It's in Rossville, Georgia. Their arena is it probably will hold, they've told us it will hold 400. So we want to see if we can test that theory on Friday and Saturday. But they have a show at least every other week, and then they also pepper in some shows from they've done Deep Southern Championship Wrestling there. They have a women's show that runs about every month, and that fills in the other dates there to sort of just keep some other things going in that building, and just put together a really good wrestling building with some other entertainment there, I guess. But they have a stage, they have a big screen, they have some video guys that do some great work, and for this, we are using a lot of their talent. Ace Rockwell, KT Hamill, Joey Lynch, Corey Hollis, Tank, Jason Collins, Chip Day, Gunnar Miller, and then Christian Hame has been there as well. But some of those other guys are pretty regular. Some of them are in from time to time. But it's definitely that they have built it, and they are the foundation of why we get to do what we do. And they've just been absolutely phenomenal and supportive of this. Drew and Susan Mullinax run that. Their son, Brandon Bailey, is refereeing for us. I took a trip up to Knoxville with him last weekend, and he's a real sharp kid. He's 18 years old, but I think he's like a 35-year-old veteran in an 18-year-old body. He's just really mature and knows his psychology, and I think he's going to be the future of the area. He does want to take over Empire one day, so we'll see how that goes. But that's Empire in a nutshell. It's probably about 10 to 15 minutes from downtown Chattanooga, and it's a cool place with cool people.
Definitely, and I'm looking forward to checking it out. Now tell us a little bit about Saturday. Of course, we have the remaining eight guys from the winners from Friday. What are we to expect on Saturday, and the format of the second round and third round and so on?
Sure. The first round, as we mentioned, is eight singles matches that will take place on Friday. And then Saturday will be the four second-round singles matches. Then we may have a tag match mixed in there. And then our main event will be a four-way elimination match. So that just completely changes the game. It's a different strategy. It's a survival strategy of, do you work together? Who can you trust? You have three other guys in there with you, and two of them can help you eliminate someone, or maybe all three of them are going to eliminate you. So it's a different element altogether, and really whoever can beat two people from singles matches and then outlast three additional people in a final four-way with the talent that we have, I think they definitely deserve a trophy at the end of that.
I'm sure, and I'm really excited to see this trophy. There's so many belts around, not enough trophies, and especially when we see people get trophies on TV. In my personal opinion, they don't really value those as much. Usually when a trophy is given to a wrestler on, we'll say WWE or TNA, it usually within a week it gets broken, right?
And yeah, that is true, yeah.
I just don't think people value enough what a trophy means. And, so I'm partially, more of a fan of trophies than I am of belts. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing this trophy and just, the first of hopefully many, many trophy holders. That definitely sounds like a really cool way to crown the winner. That's going to be a lot more unpredictable, and I think it'll give the fans a lot more to be invested in, because you never know what could happen. With two guys it's 50-50, with four guys together there's just way too many variables. And
absolutely, yeah.
And as a fan, that just sounds exciting. And it really sounds like it's going to be a great show. Now, how can people get tickets to the show?
Empire Wrestling. Go ahead.
And also, what type of tickets do you have out there, VIP, whatnot? Tell us about that.
Sure. On EmpireWrestling.net, you can go to their store, and I think they have, I think it's five different options. There are two-day passes for adults. It's just $20, which gets you in both days. For kids, the two-day pass is just $10. And then if you want a one-day pass, it's $12 for adults, $7 for kids. And then, as you mentioned, we do have a VIP package at Empire. It is first-come, first-serve seating. People will want to get there early, but if you want to ensure that you can be at the front of that line, we do have the VIP tickets. It's $20, but you're not just paying $20 to get the front of the line. You're also going to get a Scenic City Invitational t-shirt. I just okayed that design a couple days ago. They look great. They're going to have all the names of the wrestlers on the back and have the Scenic City Invitational logo on the front. And then we're going to have some color programs featuring some more graphics from Will Force at Force FX Graphics. If you've seen a good-looking North Georgia poster, it was probably designed by Will Force. He does great work and has been a great partner for us for the Scenic City Invitational. But he is going to do some graphics for a program for us, and people will be able to take that program and get it signed. I'm going to have a bracket in the middle of the program so people can fill that out and remember who won and how they won, or how they made it to the finals, who they got through to get there.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. Great deals. Now, you also have a special promotion out there that you put out a day or two ago about putting the advertisement posters.
Yes, we did want to offer some of the local fans an opportunity to be a VIP, even if they didn't want the t-shirt and program. If they still wanted to be a VIP and get to the front of that line and get the best seats, if they print out one of our posters that has all of our information on there with the date and the time and the place and all that good stuff, if they can print one of those out from our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Scenic City Invitational, if they'll print one of those out, put it up at an area business, and take a picture of that, and then send us a message on Facebook with that picture, then we add them to the VIP list. So we're trying to help those out that help us out. And just wanted to let you know that you've done a good job with promoting us and supporting us. So I wanted to let you know that if you are able to make it up, that you are on the VIP list, Patrick.
Well, definitely appreciate it. I'm trying to tell people around here. Hopefully, I'll be able to get a car full of people to come with me, or at least show up the day of. Those who can't commit to do 2 days, so definitely appreciate that. It sounds like a really cool thing that's going on, especially in, I guess I can, I'll go back to this, but the things you see on TV, you know, this sports entertainment, you know, it can be frustrated at times. And, you know, and I was having a talk with a friend the other day, it's just how people really don't appreciate just good old pro wrestling, you know. And I think, you know, I like to support people who are doing exactly that and just putting good wrestling. It's not about the soap opera much. It's not about, you know, what may sound funny or entertainment at the time, but it's just, you know, I go back to the days of, you know, Billy Robinson and Hodges and Tess and all these greats who were just men who just came in and, you know, went out there and just, you know, had a good old time trying to prove that they were the better man. And I think we're seeing that here. And, you know, you're doing a great job. And, you know, like I said, I'm wishing that this will be so successful for you, because I want to be able to talk to you in 10 years when we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Sydney City Invitational. And, you know, just seeing the type of wrestlers that you'll be able to bring year after year. So we're definitely looking, you know, wishing you all the success in the world with this. And any way that here at FOW that we can support you, and over the next few shows until the day of the show, we'll be promoting, we'll be talking about it on our shows, so our listeners can at least check it out. And those who may not be in the area or may not be able to travel, at least will be able to check it out in the future if something else, you know, another year or whatnot. In addition to that, now, you'll be coming to my side of the woods a week or two after the Invitational for the Mucha Lucha event in Atlanta. And it's going to be a pretty cool show here. They're going to have Blue Demon Jr. and Mr. Niebla, who people here in the U.S. may not necessarily be very familiar, but these guys are legends in Mexico. And for them to come here, it's a pretty big deal. It's kind of like, I don't know, thinking of, you know, some of our legends going over to Mexico. Tell us a little about this, and how did you get to know about this promotion and the show?
Sure. I collect autographs, and I have a PWI magazine from 2009 that features the top 500 wrestlers in the world. And so, you know, I've read about some of these guys. I don't follow Lucha too closely, so I'm apparently about 5 years behind. But luckily for me, those guys were available, and it's probably been about a year. I saw where Atlantis and Ultimo Guerrero were going to be in Norcross, Georgia on a Sunday afternoon, and I just thought, wow, you know, this may be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see two guys that, you know, I recognize their names. They're very respected Lucha Libre wrestlers. And so my wife and I went down there, and we got there way too early. They have this loud Spanish music blasting the whole time, and we were probably two of maybe about eight people out of 300 or 400 people that weren't Spanish speakers or bilingual. They had some of the wrestlers make jokes with using sort of, I guess, bilingual jokes. They had a white guy who, or an English-speaking guy, Nigel Sherrod, that works in Georgia. But they had him work the show, and he delivered a hateful promo in English about green cards and this stuff. And so he would deliver it in English, and then he made this guy translate it. And I'm not sure what the guy was saying, because he was speaking Spanish, but he obviously was not saying what Nigel was saying. So the crowd would get mad when Nigel was speaking in English, and I'm pretty sure that 99% of the crowd knew what he was saying. And then when the guy translated in Spanish, the crowd would all laugh, except for us dumb, only English-speaking people. There's about eight of us that weren't laughing because we had no idea what was being said in Spanish. So I actually reached out to you, and I was like, right, Hey, your last name is Alvarez, you know, and I did ask. I was like, you do speak Spanish, right? You know, I'm not trying to completely stereotype. You know, I was going to ask because, you know, I mean, just because you have a Hispanic last name or heritage, you know, in today's day and time, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are a Spanish speaker. So you did volunteer that yes, you do speak Spanish, and that's absolutely incredible for this event, being a wrestling fan, and the fact that you can hopefully help me understand what's going on at some points. They do have they do the 2 out of 3 falls Lucha Libre rules matches. So the first match, I had to sort of get my memory jogged at the last event I went to, because I was like, oh, okay, he got the pin, it's over. And it was like, why are they still in there? And then it's like, oh, okay, well, they got another pin, it's over now, it's tied. Oh, they're still in there? So I had to sort of figure it out and remember that Lucha is 2 out of 3 falls in most cases. But they did a lot of six-man tags, which is very traditional to Lucha. And you mentioned Blue Demon Jr. and Mr. Niebla. There's also some interesting talent from the Florida area. Lince Dorado, he's a very talented performer who regularly wrestles for FIP, and he's wrestled for, I think I've seen him at Evolve, maybe Dragon Gate USA, but he does the United States Independence, and he's very talented. Another guy that I've seen him on shows with, or advertised with on posters and things, Mr. 450. He is advertised there also. And then the other names I recognize as sort of local guys, Antonio Garza is a buddy of mine. He's out of Alabama. He also wrestles as Yaki, Y-A-K-I. But I have done some shows with him. And then the other one I noticed, I forgot to look up, I don't remember what the guy's name is, but they have a guy, and I don't know if it changes out or if it's the same guy every time, but they have a guy that has wrestled for TNA and Chikara and maybe even Ring of Honor, but he wrestles under a different kind of mask at this show as Mr. Atlanta. So they're using sort of the old school tactic of making sort of a hometown guy. I don't think he's really from Atlanta, but maybe he does make his home there because it is such an international hub now. But those four guys, plus the two big stars of the show, plus there's several other guys, and several of them are, I believe, authentic Mexican luchadors. And just a really unique opportunity to see something that's different culturally for most wrestling fans, and then just unique as a wrestling fan to be able to see these guys that perform around the world right in our own backyard down in Norcross, Georgia. The promoter's name is Ricardo Ordaz. And I have talked with him a little bit. He's always very nice and helpful. And when I had asked originally, you know, will someone who speaks Spanish go and translate for me? He said, you know, if you have any questions, just ask me. I said, well, I'll have a question what every single word is, because I don't speak any Spanish.
Wow.
He said, oh.
Well, you know, I'm going to be more than happy to be your translator for the night. But yeah, Lucha Libre is definitely a totally different type of, you know, sport. And very fast-paced. They tell a different story. And yeah, like you mentioned, it's not over when you think it's over. And they can go a little longer. You definitely need to time your bathroom breaks a little better with those, because you might not know when you might have to wait a little longer. But it's definitely cool, you know, you just way to, you know, get people excited. I mean, in you know, look what it did for WCW when the Luchadors came in.
I think that
really helped that organization for a brief time increase its popularity. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what these guys are about, you know. And they're not here only, but I believe they also have places on the other side of the country. I think they've been in Denver and places like that. So it's neat that they're here. In my backyard, never had a clue. So, thanks for letting me know, because I, you know, I'll be checking out more often. But that show will be on Sunday, August the 16th at 6 p.m. And it will be at the Life Oak Plaza in Norcross, Georgia. People can go to MuchaLuchaATL.com for tickets, pricing. Of course, people here locally in Atlanta can go to Supermercado Jalisco to also purchase tickets. And I hear that they're actually going to have a signing the day before on the 15th at the Cheque Pronto, which is like a check cashing place in Chamblee, Georgia. So for those listening who are local, definitely check that out. And they also have different types of tier pricing, VIP, adults and children. So it's going to be a really cool show there. So we're looking forward to it. And you know, I'll make sure that, you know, if anybody talks about you, you know, I might just play it like I don't speak English, Spanish either, and then come back and, you know, surprise them a little bit. I'm like, you know. But, yeah, thank you for asking me if I spoke Spanish to them, because you, for all you knew, I just tanned real well, you know. So, but, and back to your show, though, I just want to bring that up. Scenic City Invitational. The show starts at what time? Is it standard 8 o'clock, 7?
It is a 7:30 start. We want to get everybody out of there by like 10:30 or so. I just think after about 3 hours or after the 11 o'clock mark, people really start showing fatigue, and we want to keep the energy. We want to, but also give everybody sort of time to get there, especially on Friday. That'll be hard for some of our out-of-town competitors to get there, but I guess some of them are making sacrifices or doing whatever they need to do to get there on time. The doors will open at 7 o'clock. VIPs will get in probably about 6:45. I know, like I said, it is going to be sort of hard for some people to get there, but we will do our best, and we will hopefully be able to cram everything in there from 7:30 to maybe about 10:30, hopefully not to 11. But the deep matches is going to be just an action-packed, just jam-packed night for Friday. And then with that the final four-way the second night, I mean, who knows how long that can go with the best four guys in the whole tournament going, I guess, one-on-one. So, We want to give them plenty of time, but also be able to sort of be polite to our fans, too.
Absolutely. Well, again, Scott, looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us on the show. And we'll make sure we continue to remind people about the show and updates. And we're looking forward to it. And we'll also be adding a link of the date of the show on our website. So if anybody checks that out, they can also link it from there. So, Scott, again, thank you for joining us. Good luck with everything, and we appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much, Patrick. I really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you one of, if not both, nights for the Scenic City Invitational and at the Mucha Lucha Atlanta show.
Absolutely. Looking forward. Thank you again.
Thanks.
And that was my conversation with Scott Hensley. Definitely, thank you, Scott, once again for joining the show. And we're looking forward to the Scenic City Invitational. Tickets can be found online at empirewrestling.net. Go to the store on that website to get your tickets. Don't forget, an additional $20 will get you VIP tickets. Will allow you to get a T-shirt, program, and first come first serve seating, early bird seating at the arena for the shows. And Mike, any last thoughts before we close out?
Yeah, just a couple things. One, if you're in the Atlanta area and you have not gone to an Atlanta wrestling entertainment show. Shame on you. The tickets are cheap. The shows are great. It's an intimate setting, small venue, right up on the action. No reason not to go. You can get the tickets off of their website, AtlantaWrestlingEntertainment.com. You can check them out on Facebook. They even got Twitter. You know, just look them up, get into them, follow them, you know, like them, like their page. You know, they definitely deserve the following. They deserve the fans. You know, give them their due. They're putting on great shows. They need butts in seats. If you are in the Atlanta area, go to their shows. And other than that, we do have a website. It is fowradio.com. It is a work in progress. There's some stuff on there, not much, but like I said, it's a work in progress that we're trying to, you know, work on. And we want you to check it out. Give us some feedback. There's a comments page. You can let us know directly. Hey, I think it'd be cool if you did this with the site. We're open to ideas. You know, hey, I'd like it if you think that, you know, we should do a segment where we get wrestlers to write a blog. That's an idea that we're tossing around. We're trying to talk to some wrestlers we know to get them to, you know, maybe write some blog segments. If that's something that you'd like to see, let us know in the comments page. You know, we're definitely open to ideas. We want to make this something that is organic, that fans, because it's called Fans of Wrestling for a reason. We're all fans, and we want other fans to enjoy wrestling with us. You know,
absolutely.
So we want it to be kind of a community feel. It's our site, but we want you to be a part of it. So check it out. Let us know what we can do to improve. You know, like, give us ideas for articles to write. Give us, you know, if you got some ideas for the podcast, you can shoot it on the comments page there. Just let us know what you think. All right. That's my spiel.
Mike, once again, thanks for joining. Always great to talk to you. And don't forget, follow Mike on Twitter at mbrummagen. I'm on Twitter at yellowmaniac. We are on Twitter at FOW Radio. Subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and Podbean.com. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.